T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe, on WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no, gotta go to Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe.
304 on The Fan, hour 2 of our radio program. Joe and Evan in the afternoon, 877-337-6666 is the phone number here, of course, till 6 o'clock. Big Mike Francesa will come your way. Paul Rosenberg, he's in Manhattan. Ernie Acosta, he's in Yonkers. We're live from the Town Fair Tire studio with nobody, 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 and nobody on top of that beats Town Fair Tire, nobody.
A lot has happened. A lot has happened since we last talked to this gentleman, and that, of course, is the general manager of the Brooklyn Nets, Sean Marks. Sean, Joe, and Evan, good to talk to you. How are you?
Sean?
I'm good, Joe. Evan, thank you for having me. One question to start. Are you sure this is the real Sean Marks? I heard you had a pretty good impersonator yesterday.
Was yes. What did Gio do, Sean Marks? Yesterday?
G's got a good Sean Marks imitation. Yeah.
Wow.
I'll be able to tell based on some of your answers if it's G or Sean Marks.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. There you go. Good.
All right. First, let me start with Durant and playing in the bubble. Because I had thought, as we were waiting for this NBA restart, boy, why not? Why can't this guy play? He's had a lot of time to rehab. 8 regular season games. Boy, this really could happen. Was it a serious discussion between you and Kevin on him returning inside the bubble for the Brooklyn Nets?
Yeah, I think we had discussions. I don't know how serious they were, to be honest, because I think the odds were stacked up against him, to be honest. When you're talking about a guy that's been out for, at that point, you know, coming up a year, and then we were all shut down, and we weren't able to, you know, get out in front of him and work him out, and he wasn't able to take that next few steps to playing 3-on-3 and 5-on-5 and building up that way. And when he's been locked out of a gym for, you know, a couple of months on end, you know, because of the pandemic, then you're sitting here going, well, why would we risk this? Why would we? Is it really worth this? If he hasn't had, you know, the ultimate build up and is in a best shape as possible for success and long term success, let's not risk this.
Sean, what about the perception? You know, Kenny Atkinson gets fired, and I got to tell you, I mean, the perception for me, and I probably speak for a lot of different people, is that he got fired basically because Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving didn't like him and wanted him out. And knowing how we've seen this kind of thing for years in the NBA with players getting certain coaches fired, this has been going on for 100 years, or how many years it is. What about that? If you don't,
yeah, look, that's certainly a narrative that's going to be out there. You know, we can't do anything about that. What I will say is, you know, Kenny and I have always had a brutally honest relationship, you know, right from the get-go here. And, you know, we talked, you know, multiple times a day about everything. So there was nothing hidden behind closed doors. There's no hidden agendas here. There was nothing here. So, you know, when we have a relationship like that, you know, we can talk about things that maybe, you know, you sort of say, well, should we delay this? Should we wait? You know, is this the right time? When and where and how? And, you know, I commend Kenny for, you know, being honest and upfront with me, and you know, I don't want to put this on players. I think this is a matter of everything. This is a discussion between Kenny and myself, and obviously ownership, and we take everything into account. And you know, I think, as I've said before, Kenny's fingerprints are going to be all over this franchise forever. I mean, he and the staff here and so forth have have done a terrific job in getting us to where we are, and now it's onwards, and you know, we wish Kenny nothing but the best.
But it is fair to assume, not that necessarily Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving's getting the guy fired, but when you invest as much as you have in these guys, and they are a key part of the future, they have a rather large voice. So were discussions had with your best player on the future of the head coach before the decision was made to mutually part ways?
No, the discussions were never had with those players. I mean, we discuss everything with the players in terms of, you know, what are we going to run out there? How are you feeling when you're returning to play and so forth? But when you come to decisions like that, that's when, you know, I think Kenny and I both saw it. And you know, again, I give him credit for it. But no, there were no, you know, behind closed door discussions with myself and Kevin or Kyrie or anybody for that matter. You know, I think they were told ahead of it being released to the public. That is fair to say. But in right. terms of, you know, prior to that, no, they were not. They were not.
When... Because, look, I mean, I was taken majorly by surprise as a Nets fan. I remember it happening on a Saturday morning, and I was stunned. And that doesn't mean I haven't criticized Kenny plenty as a head coach, but I certainly didn't think he was going to be fired or mutually part ways. My apologies. When did the thought pop into your head, and maybe Kenny said that, hey, this isn't going to work out? Was it happening early in the season? Was it happening right before the decision was made? You know, as someone that lives and dies with every game you guys play, I'm just curious, when did you guys start to see that a divorce was very possible?
I mean, it was hard to put a specific date on that, but there were discussions all along. I mean, Kenny could, you know, he could walk into my office, you know, any day and say, hey, look, we need to adjust this, change the roster. What about this guy? I like the look of what that team's doing or this team is doing, and vice versa. I could have the same discussions with him. So, you know, I don't think it was one thing. I think it was a culmination of discussions. And I think then when, you know, when Kenny says, look, you know, I can see where, you know, maybe this is going with the players and so forth, you know, you get a good sense. You know, I mean, look, he has been around the game a very long time. You know, he knows players, he knows personalities, and, you know, I think he can sense that, hey, look, this isn't what it used to be, maybe. You know, maybe, you know, they're not hearing my voice as they once did or whatnot. And, you know, it's time. I'd rather make that move now. And, again, that's when we both mutually agreed to say, look, why not? This is what's probably best for the Nets, but it's also beneficial for Kenny as well.
What about Jock Vaughn? I mean, is he the coach for the long haul now, Sean? Is he going to be the coach going forward?
Well, I think we're going to give, you know, Jacques every opportunity to have success and his coaching staff, and we're supporting them, you know, the same way we did, you know, prior when Kenny was here, and we'll sort of see where it goes. I think, you know, we obviously have our work cut out for him, you know, in Orlando, and I mentioned the other day, we're not going to be judging, you know, Jacques on a wins-loss thing. That would be completely unfair, but, you know, I've enjoyed watching these guys get back in the gym and seeing those relationships and the work and the development unfold. And, you know, we'll just see where it goes from there.
So if you're not judging on wins and losses, and I can't disagree with you considering what this roster is going to look like, and Kevin Durant's not going to be there, and Kyrie Irving is not going to be there, and DeAndre Jordan's not going to be there, and we'll see about Spencer, what are you judging it on? Like, how are you going to make a judgment on Jacques Vaughn, the coach?
You know, there's going to be a number of factors, but you're 100% right. It's extremely difficult to, but that, you know, that's my job, and that's the job of all of us to get together and hopefully make the best decision we can, whether it's on a coaching hire, whether that's on a draft pick. It's a collaborative effort. So, you know, we'll do that. But again, it's going to be paramount about the relationship with players, how we move forward here, holding them accountable. And we're going to need a leader. I mean, the bottom line is these guys are going to have to be coached by somebody that they ultimately respect and that can lead them and get them to where this roster is built out for. So, and we continue to make those next steps.
But you'd admit, even if, you know, like Joe said, perception, Kevin Durant's pulling all the strings, Kevin Durant's going to have a voice in the coaching search. Like, his opinion on the matter is going to be really big. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I would say it would be probably, you know, not incredibly smart of us if we did not involve some of these key players in this decision. And that not only goes for Kevin, I think it's, you know, Kevin and Kyrie, we're going to pick their brains on what they are looking for in a leader, what they want in a coach, what they need. I think these guys have been brutally honest so far.
Have they told you yet? Have they had that discussion on what they're looking for?
I've had some of those discussions with them, but at the end of the day, we're focused on Orlando right now, and we're focused on, you know, like really the rest of the world, figuring out this pandemic and so forth. I mean, the coaching search, without a doubt, and what that'll have is on the back burner. But, you know, I'm not going to be, you know, hitting these guys up every 5 minutes on what they think. I mean, you know, they've got to concentrate on their own rehab and return to play.
But I guess here's where I'm confused then. Kevin's going to have a big voice, which I'm not arguing with you about. I mean, geez, you know, he's one of the best players on the planet. Why would you pick a coach that he can't stand? That wouldn't make any sense. How is he going to have a strong opinion on Jacques when he's not there? I mean, he's in Orlando. Kevin's rehabbing in Brooklyn. So how is Kevin Durant going to be able to give you a good opinion on Jacques Vaughn? Does he already have one on Jacques Vaughn? Like, does he already have that opinion stored away based on the 5 minutes that he was there as head coach? Obviously, he was there for a while as an assistant. So how does that work?
I think we've got to give Jacques a little more credit than us. I mean, these guys have been around him for the last year, and there's a relationship there. They know what Jacques is like. They know what he's all about. They know what the coaching staff, you know, brings to the table every day, and at the right time, they'll certainly be able to voice those opinions, those thoughts, and so forth. But yeah, I'm not going to be asking Kevin to come down and evaluate anybody in Orlando. But as I've seen, you know, in the past, you know, when you get to that level of those elite players, they have ultimate goals in their mind, and they know they want to be held accountable. And Kevin and Kyrie specifically have told me the reason why they're in Brooklyn. The reason why they're in Brooklyn is to do everything they possibly can to win a championship. That's the bottom line there, and that's what they're looking for from a roster, from a staff, you know, and that's me included. I mean, we're all going to have to make decisions here that can get this team in a place for ultimate success.
Talking to Sean Marks, the GM of the Brooklyn Nets. All right, so you look at the situation. Let's assume that the Orlando thing happens, and I'm still not sold it's going to, but let's assume everything goes as planned and all of that. You look at your team right now. You're not going to have Durant. You're not going to have Kyrie. You're not going to have Wilson Chandler. You're not going to have DeAndre Jordan. You already got Spencer Dinwiddie, who's come down with the virus, and you know he's had some symptoms with the virus and all of this. I mean, aren't you almost better? And I believe if you miss the playoffs, you get to keep your own number one pick.
Correct.
Aren't you almost better off just not even making the playoffs right now?
Well, I think you can evaluate, you know, a lot of the different scenarios that could come up there. I think, you know, if you do the math and look at analytically how you could possibly not make the playoffs, you take that into account. And then, you know, you also have to look at what's best for the guys that are playing. And, you know, you have to do those guys right and go out there and try and compete. Look, we know our hands are somewhat tied behind our back a little bit, and it's unforeseen. But again, this is an opportunity for us, and it's an opportunity for those guys individuals. You know, they have something to prove. They want to go out, and who am I to take something away from them? So, you know, I'm never going to question the competitive spirit and drive of the guys that we do bring to Orlando, and they do want to go down there and compete. They're competing for their livelihood. So, you know, we'll be strategic in how we play down there and how we go and compete. But, again, this is much, much bigger than the game of basketball. As was sort of said before, right now this transcends that. And, you know, this is I hope it happens. I obviously, you know, we hope for the game of basketball and hopefully for society that we're able to get down there and play. And I think you got to give the NBA credit for everything they've done to get us to this point, get us to this plan, because, you know, the obviously planning for this has been, you know, arduous and just incredibly difficult.
We're talking to Sean Marks, the GM of the Nets. Before I ask you about Spencer, and I know Joe's very curious, I think a lot of us are, any update on Kyrie Irving's new basketball league? what's going on with that?
Well, he hasn't asked me to be the GM there, so I'm still waiting. But look, Kyrie and I have talked about, you know, at length about this, and you know, he's... You know, he's a lightning rod, right? You know, people like to talk about him, and you know, I think part of it is, you know, sometimes he enjoys some of the controversy. But I've got to give him credit for at least, you know, sparking the conversations. And when society is going through a movement like this, I think it's right to have a lot of different conversations. They need to be had. You know, they can't be hidden behind closed doors and so forth. So that's one thing that makes America great is, you know, we're allowed to have these conversations. And we're very fortunate to be here, and hopefully there is change in the future here.
Oh, no, listen, in all seriousness, what Kyrie has done for social justice in this country is great. And I'm not mocking that. I think what was weird and concerning was the idea of starting his own league. That was the thing that kind of, and that became the headline. Now, maybe that didn't happen. Maybe he never said that. I have no idea. I would think that if you heard that, the first thing you would do is call him up and say, what's the deal? I mean, are you, like, what's going on? Well, like, I just paid you a lot of money. What's going on, man?
No, he never brought it up to me that he was thinking of starting his own league. So honestly took it for what it was worth. And I'm more worried about getting him back out on the court and making sure he's healthy and ready to go.
Okay, well, that was going to be my follow-up, because as much as Joe and I would talk about Kevin Durant's health, there would always be this air of mystery about Kyrie, who obviously only played 20 games this year. Where is he in his recovery? How is he? Would he be able to play if he wanted to now? Where is he at this point?
He's doing well, but like Kevin, I think this is where, you know, you have to look at the risk reward here. And when you've got, you know, a lot of money, your future tied to a couple guys, you know, along with the whole team. But I mean, really, you know, these two guys are an integral part of it. And when they haven't had the appropriate buildup, and that's not to say they haven't been working out, but there's a big difference between being in a gym by yourself shooting hoops and, you know, playing in an NBA game, let alone, you know, a 5-on-5 scrimmage. So the fact that, you know, the hiatus really set both of those guys in terms of their rehab back, you know, there's no sort of injury worries, but the last thing we want to do is put these guys out there when they haven't had the appropriate workload and build up, and then we risk, you know, some other injury to anybody for that matter.
Are you confident, Sean, this is going to happen? I mean, how confident are you? What, maybe you can give me a percentage, 50-50, whatever. I mean, how confident are you that the league is going to be able to pull this off down in Orlando?
Look, I'm confident that we're going to get down there. You know, I think the point is the league has done a tremendous amount of work into, you know, to getting us to have this opportunity now. Look, it's obviously going to look different. How creative will it look? And how can we take advantage of, you know, a different format, different teams, a different look, you know, no fans and so forth? I think we can certainly focus on all the negative there, but I think we should also be focusing on, like, our guys are trying to return to play. Our guys are trying to get back out there. The league has done an amazing job of that. And, you know, it's, to be honest, it's better than watching reruns on TV. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I've run out of Netflix. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. Whatever it looks like down there. And first and foremost, let's hope that, you know, the players and staff and everybody's, you know, safety and health is paramount.
You know, I know, and Joe mentioned earlier, and I'm never one, Joe will tell you, I'm never one to thinking about tanking or keeping picks to not make the playoffs. I always look at it as, hey, make the playoffs, you never know. I guess I look at it, if Spencer can't go, and I wish him all the best, I see him tweeting every day, and, you know, he actually has symptoms from this virus, and hopefully he's okay, forget about basketball, but if he can't play, do you think you guys can compete? And are you concerned that for a guy like Karras, who is a big part of this future, that maybe he's more of a risk to get hurt again, trying to carry the load of a roster that's going to feature, you know, a lot of fill-ins. So yeah, your concern level about competing and the health of Karras going down there if you do.
Absolutely. I think we have to be smart in how we go down there and how we compete and the team we put out there. But, yeah, to your point, we have been evaluating and continue to evaluate all the different circumstances regarding who's playing and who's not playing and who should play and who shouldn't play. It's ultimately, you know, the players have to make these decisions on their own. It's not entirely up to me. I can certainly direct them into ways we think, you know, this would be beneficial to you and so forth. But we're going to take their safety and health and, you know, obviously injury risk, you know, that's a priority there. And not only for this season, let's be honest, like we're looking at, you know, the next year, 2 years, 3 years down the road here. So, yeah, those are some tough decisions. All I can say is it's extremely fluid as it is, and I think most teams are going through this. You know, maybe not quite to the extent that ours has been, you know, publicly put out there with, you know, some of the guys getting, you know, getting COVID and so forth and injury. But, you know, this is a tough decision for a lot of teams out there, especially when, you know, maybe you're not, you know, a shoo-in for a conference finals berth.
How is Spencer doing?
Spencer's doing fine. Look, you know, he's definitely feeling symptoms, and, you know, we're doing everything we can to support him. But, you know, this, again, I think what we've seen with COVID, and, you know, I speak because I haven't had it, so I really shouldn't be talking too much. But, you know, from what I've at least gathered from the guys and people that I know who have, you know, come down with COVID, is it affects everybody really quite differently. Some people have a lot of symptoms, some people have none, and some people have no idea they even had it. So that's the scary thing here. And you know, we mentioned earlier, you know, guys that are asymptomatic and have carried it around, and all of a sudden they have antibodies and never had any symptoms. So this is a very, very strange and as we all know, deadly virus.
You know, if this does get pulled off with the NBA, I mean, I've always said this, that to me it really levels the playing field a lot. You know, once you get into the playoffs, when you're playing everything in the same place, basically, same area, no travel, no fans, no home court advantage, none of that. Do you agree with that, Sean, that kind of, you know, maybe things are going to change, the dynamic of the playoffs would change a lot here?
Yeah, yes, without a doubt. I mean, you will not have the travel to and away site and so forth. I think, you know, we all have a 7-minute bus ride. I mean, that's what we're looking at down there. So, you know, you're all just staying in the same, you know, same hotel, same bed, you're all away. You know, for these guys, it's going to be, you know, sort of a glorified AAU basketball, which, you know, many of them haven't done in a decade or so. But, you know, we'll try and make the most of it. You know, we'll take something out of here. We have to. You know, it would be really detrimental for us to go down there, you know, with sort of a negative mindset or a defeatist attitude. I mean, we're going to have to go down there and take something away. There's going to be opportunities for team camaraderie and bonding and so forth. And if that's all we get out of it, well, that's all we get out of it. But I you know, I've been in situations before that look pretty dire. And, you know, you look back, you know, 6 months later, 7 months later and say, man, do you remember when? Do you remember that meeting? Right. Do you remember that opportunity, that practice? And that laid the groundwork for where we are today. And I think Orlando is going to give these players an incredible opportunity, you know, to show really some solidarity and come together, have these honest conversations about what's going on in society. Not only, you know, within the team, but, you know, inter-team and get a larger group together and put the NBA, you know, on a forefront here.
We're talking to Sean Marks. The first time we ever had you on, and I don't expect you to remember this, I made a joke to you. I'm about to say the same thing, except I'm not joking anymore. And that's about Greg Popovich. I'm serious. Are you thinking about that? Are you thinking about pursuing a guy you're very familiar? I mean, that would be the perfect coach for this team, Sean. Who are we kidding?
Well, Pop has a job, so I will say that. And he, obviously, we all know he's an amazing, amazing coach, and to be quite frank, an even better leader. So, you know, I'll let Pop continue to coach for the Spurs, and you know, he owes it to them, and they owe it to him. So,
boy,
I'm sure
Sean,
they're quite
you pull
happy
that off. Imagine you pull that off. I'm stunned you got Kyrie and Kevin Durant. I mean, we'll see how it works out. I'm stunned by it. But you get Pop, that's got to be. You got to go to sleep at night occasionally thinking, boy, I got to convince Pop to come to New York City. He probably loves the city, doesn't he?
Well, there's a lot of good restaurants here, and he does like New York. I do know that. Well, but I go to sleep at night thinking about a lot of things, trust me. So, you know, and coaching is definitely one, but, you know, the whole team and the organization.
You know what Nets Twitter goes to sleep thinking about? They go to sleep thinking about Joe Harris. Can you promise them that you will re-sign him? Because to me, if you don't re-sign Joe Harris, that's not on you. That's on the owner not wanting to pay a potential luxury tax. And that's kind of how I look at it. I can't see any reason why Joe Harris wouldn't be on this team next year, right?
That's ultimately it'll be Joe Harris's decision. I mean, again, he can make those decisions. I think he knows what we're all about. He is. I would not be doing it justice if I said he's an intricate part of the team. He is far more than that. You know, he's beloved here by his teammates, his coaching staff, ownership group, you name it. You know, he epitomizes really what it means to be a Net. And, you know, I think what you've heard Joe in the past in the media say that, you know, he would love to be back and he would love to be returned. And I don't think that's just window dressing either. I think he sincerely means that. And, you know, he is a guy that I look to for advice on how we continue to build this team as well.
Do you feel, and I'm not going to, you know, as much as I did with Pop, I'm not going to bring up specific players. I know you can't talk about them. But in general, do you think to win an NBA championship, you need to make a deal for a third star? Or do you kind of look at your job during the offseason as putting the proper pieces around the stars that you already have?
I think you can, you know, like we've seen in the past, teams can go for a third star, but at what cost? You know, sometimes the three guys all arrive at one time, you know. Others, it's two will go and join one. And we already have a couple of guys here. But, you know, we also have, you know, some really emerging young talent here. And it would be, you know, you'd hope you'd make the right decisions if you have to make any moves like that. You've got to weigh the odds of, like, depth and so forth. And, you know, I think we really like our roster, how it is right now. I love seeing how these guys are developing. It'll be interesting, but at this point right now, look, I wouldn't say we're content, because I don't think anybody's ever content. Players aren't content, coaches aren't content, and certainly front offices aren't. But we'll continue to navigate this and see what happens along the way. But as it is now, it's like, you know, how do these guys continue to develop and fill in their roles and so forth?
Sean, it was very good talking to you. We appreciate it. When do you plan on going down to Orlando? What is the date that you guys are supposed to be down here before we let you go?
Yeah, we are all leaving on the 7th, so we'll all be down there flying
next
down
week.
Together.
Would you need then, you know, because that's interesting, would you need then Spencer Dinwiddie to say, because Spencer has said, I think, in an interview with Shams, hey, I want to play. I mean, if I'm feeling good, he wants to play. He's not, in this moment, opting out of playing. So at what point would he have to make that decision to come down with you guys or feel well enough to come down with you guys?
Yeah, well, Spencer would have to, or anybody for that matter, has to have two negative tests, you know, before they can come down with us. So, you know, there's a timing issue here that we're going to have to look at. There's obviously, you know, obviously first and foremost is his health and see how he's doing. And, you know, if he has to fly down later, we could fly him down later. But those are all things that we're talking to Spencer about, and our performance team and doctors are evaluating constantly.
All right, Sean. Well, stay safe. We appreciate talking to you. And, you know what? Go shock the world down there. I'd love that. We'd all love that as Net fans. Go on a run in that tournament. That'd be hilarious.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thank all right, you, Sean. You take care, man. Be well.
Sean Marks, the GM of the Nets. Even he can't believe that would happen. I said, go on a run. He's like, yeah, well, yeah. That's not happening.
That first round draft choice looks good.
I know, but you know what's funny? When you brought that up, he mentioned the analytics and the math. You know what he was trying to say? The Washington Wizards are so awful that we could go out and lose every game, and it may not matter. Because it's kind of true with what would have to happen for the Nets to miss the playoffs.
Right.
And that's kind of the like, I don't want to say it's frustrating, but it is a factor in this. Like, because I get your point, bro, and I'm usually not on the side of tanking for draft picks, but if Dinwiddie's not there and Kyrie and
all
Durant,
these guys aren't there. Jordan's not there. I mean, all these guys.
Yeah, it's a G League team, but it's going to be almost impossible, Joe, for them to miss the playoffs because the Wizards are actually going to have to win games.
Yeah, well.
And there's no guarantee that's going to happen.
And who knows if they want to win games for that matter.
Right, and Bradley Beal hasn't committed to going down there either, who's their best player, so we'll see.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.